It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goth.
Kia ora, Phil. How are you?
Atamarie. Very good, thank you, Rachel.
That's good. Hey, last time we spoke to you, the council was just about to go into a meeting to discuss whether a climate emergency would be announced for Auckland or not. And since then, it has been unanimously voted to declare a climate emergency. What can you tell us about this? So what does this mean for Auckland? And how is this going to be, I guess, practically enforced? What does this mean in terms of practical things the council's going to be doing?
Yeah, I think that's the important question, because it's easy to declare a climate change emergency, and I think it was important that we did so, and that we did so unanimously, because what that indicated was a unanimous view on the part of council that the situation with climate change has reached an urgent point where, as one of the placards that the kids held in the rally, the student strike, he said, "Dear adults, time is running out," and it is running out, so it was important to pass it to say this needs to be addressed urgently, but now you need a program on how you address climate change, both in mitigation, that is how you can help prevent our carbon emissions rising and keeping the global warming to less than 1.5%, which was the Paris Agreement, and secondly, how you adapt to climate change, because we've already got melt on the two polar ice caps and Greenland. Our sea level will rise, we will be getting more extreme weather conditions, and our mean annual temperature is going up. So what we also did on the same day was pass a climate change framework which sets out how we intend to approach the issue of climate change, some of the things obviously we're doing already, and out of that framework we will develop an action plan which needs to detail specific actions that the council will take, what the cost is of those actions, and how we propose to fund them.
Okay,
because it's that that really counts.
I was going to say, because that's been something that a lot of people have been criticising across the board, like not just Auckland necessarily, but when councils have been calling climate emergencies, there's not necessarily a lot of funding behind that, or these frameworks become just sort of like guidelines rather than something to hold ourselves to, I guess. So what can we expect to see out of that framework from Auckland Council? What are practical things that we're going to see from that?
Well, the first thing to note is that in the last long-term plan, we put $40 million aside to deal with climate change and another $90 million aside to deal with coastal management, because that's where climate change is going to hit us most immediately. It'll be coastal erosion, it will be the damage done to infrastructure by rising sea levels, it will be properties owned by people that are no longer insurable and no longer habitable, and that's going to have to be an issue that we address together with central government across the whole country. But what are we doing specifically? Well, there's a number of critical things we're doing. First of all, we're focused on transport, because transport produces 40% of our global of our carbon emissions. And there are a range of things there. First of all, we have already converted rail to electric, but we need to extend that electrification from Papakura to Pukekohe to complete our commuter network. Secondly, we are now trialling electric buses to take over from diesel buses, and we signed the C40 declaration that said that from 2025 we will no longer be purchasing carbon-emitting public transport vehicles. And I'd like to bring that forward, but I need to do the work to make sure I know what it costs, because the capital cost of an electric bus is more than a diesel bus, but then you save money over the lifetime of the bus because it's cheaper to run. We're converting our fleets from petrol and diesel to hybrid and to electric. So Auckland Transport has done that, Watercare has done that. We've started that process. I drive an electric car. I have from the day that I started at council, gave away the diesel SUV and the chauffeur, and got a self-drive electric. We also need to put pressure on government to act, because for every electric car we're importing, right at this point, 65 SUV diesel vehicles. And, you know, we've got 1% of our car fleet that's electric. Norway has 44%. So we need to work with central government to say, how can you incentivise, particularly our fleets, our company fleets, to convert mm-hmm. more quickly to electric, because then that creates the next generation of second-hand electric yeah. cars that people can afford.
Then, yeah.
We're also making our city more compact, a deliberate decision under the Unitary Plan. 85% of all of the new housing is within the metropolitan urban limits, and that means that our carbon footprint per capita will be less as well. So there are important things that are happening there, and what we're saying in our action plan is, how can we make sure that we meet that goal of, yep. of reducing our carbon emissions? What will it cost and how will we pay for it?
So is this new sort of climate framework that's coming out of the emergency, the sort of like state of emergency about climate change that's been declared, is that just going to reinforce these decisions that have already been previously made, or is it bringing in...
I think it'll bring in new stuff. As I say, you know, we're beginning the conversion of our fleets yeah. to electric, but we may need to, for example, speed up that process. That has financial implications, but it also has implications for reducing pollution, particularly around Queen Street, where we've got high levels of black carbon,
yeah.
As well as the global emissions. In the housing area, we need to work with the Green Building Council to ensure that we properly promote better insulation and healthy heating and lighting efficiency. And I opened a new building, the big precinct building downtown, one of the biggest buildings down there. They've got a five Green Star rating, which means that they've achieved levels of excellence. We need to make that the standard for new big buildings rather than the exception.
One thing, Phil, that I'm quite interested in is, how is this framework that the council's bringing in to talk about climate change, how is that going to impact, how is it going to be sort of addressing Māori issues, and how is it going to be addressing future generations? Because those are two large groups that have high stakes and also different approaches to dealing with this topic, in this crisis of climate change. How is the way the council is going to be moving forward from this declaring a state of emergency, how is that going to interact with those two groups?
Well, Māori are one important group of our stakeholders, so we're working with Mana Whenua, Matawaka, and other groups to work out, because, you know, this is not just what council does, it's what we as individuals do, what the community does and the country does. The younger generation, they've got a critical part to play, and, you know, give them all credit for the way that they've mobilised young people, because this is about their world. You know, when I look at one of the other things I haven't mentioned is we're going to talk about it, I think, if we don't run out of time, is the million trees. And when I planted that millionth tree last Friday, I said to the young people there, you know, this is about your future. Planting these trees so that we are absorbing those carbon emissions as one aspect of what the million trees achieves, you know, that is about your world. You'll come back here with your grandchildren and say, we were part of this. But what we need to do now is going to affect our kids yeah. and our grandkids most particularly, because you know I've got 1.4 grandchildren at the moment. they will probably live through to the year 2100.
Yeah.
When if we've done nothing about climate change or we haven't done enough,
absolutely.
You know, you're going to have the sea level rising by metres, and it's going to devastate their world.
Absolutely.
So it's time for our generation to stop being selfish, not leave a rotten legacy, and to say to our young people, we are starting to take the action now and meet the cost now, because if we don't do this now, the effects both environmentally and economically will be devastating, and the cost of trying to remediate that damage will be much greater later.
Well,
and that's part of the public education message that we have
absolutely.
To get through.
Yeah. Well, it is fantastic that a million trees have now been planted by the council under your term as well as mayor. That is an amazing achievement, and hopefully we can see more of that happening as we go forward. Again, it's not something that should necessarily have a cap on it. I think you'd probably agree. There's always more trees to be planted. Yeah,
I don't want it to be a one-off. I made this promise back in 2016 in the mayoral campaign, and a lot of people said to me, how are you going to be able to do this? You know, you just won't do it. And we have done it. We've achieved it 5 months early, and we'll actually plant 1.1 million. But the way that we've done it's really important. On Friday, and I went out again on Saturday morning, we actually had 500 people, volunteers from the community, from corporates, from churches, from community groups, and individuals planting the trees. And that shows how much enthusiasm there was for it. But of those million trees, Actually, I arranged it so that 600,000 of those were propagated from seeds through to seedlings and bagged and ready to plant, were done in our prisons, which is fantastic, you know, because that was a contribution by the inmates in our prison who were happy to be involved in this, gave them something worthwhile to do. And as one or two of them said to me when I went through one of the prisons, hey, this is a way we can put something back into the community, because so far we've spent a lot of our lives just taking from the community. And I think that's fantastic. That's how we've managed to do it at a really low cost. We've mobilised the community, and we've taken advantage of all of the groups out there that want to contribute. So groups like Vector, for example, they planted 15,000 trees and paid for the cost of those trees as a memorial park to the World War I veterans that had come back. So we're locking in a whole lot of things around the trees. And, you know, I just go to any school, and what the kids love doing is going out and knowing that they are planting trees to make Auckland a greener and a better place to live.
That is a, that is a great thing. That is a great thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's really been successful. And my big thanks to all of the Aucklanders who have participated and contributed and done so with such enthusiasm.
That is great. One last thing we will talk about quickly before we let you head off is that is fantastic. We love that Aucklanders are getting involved with that. But Aucklanders have also got some bad recycling habits going on at the moment as well. So that's the sort of not so good side of things. 32,000 tons of rubbish sent to landfill over 2 years, and that's due to sort of poor recycling habits. How can we ameliorate this? How can we fix this, Phil?
Well, a whole lot of things, we're doing it at different ends. One is simply a process of education. When I went down and went through the Visi plant that does all the roadside collection of recycling, I was appalled at what people were putting in their recycling. You know, used baby napkins. There were hundreds of them in there. That's just laziness and irresponsibility. And, you know, if council has to, we're going to have to start looking at what people are putting in their recycling and taking remedial action against those that just act irresponsibly. But there are a lot of people doing the opposite. Instead of putting their recyclables into the recycling bin, they just put it out with their weekly trash that goes to landfill.
Right.
So, you know, the best thing we're doing is working through our schools. But we are also working with the big supermarket chains. I've had both of the chains in recently. I originally went to them and said, you've got to phase out plastic bags. They disagreed with me at the time, but they've come around. But, you know, we've got to stop using stuff that is unnecessary. We've got to stop using, for example, plastic straws instead of using paper straws. We've got to stop using the plastic grade 3 to 7, which we don't have a demand for marketing, and convince people to use plastics that can be recycled, the grades 1 and 2, like the milk bottles and the soft drink containers are made out of. So it's working at both ends and telling people that, you know, landfill is bad, and what's even worse is that we're getting those microplastics going into our oceans, ending up in the stomachs of seabirds and sea mammals. You know, we can't keep doing this to our world. And, you know, to me, there's scarcely an issue more important than what we do to make our lifestyle sustainable, so that we don't leave that rotten legacy I mentioned before to our kids. And our kids will be putting pressure on it.
Yeah.
And we're working in the schools to make sure they are aware. And, you know, some of the schools like Meadowbank School that I went to recently, the stuff they're doing within the schools today is really fantastic. Lifting that awareness.
It is. It's totally.
And the kids will be educating their parents, I hope.
It is totally fantastic to see, I guess, kids taking a massive leadership role in a lot of things happening at the moment. Climate change, as we've been talking about, and also the tree planting, and I guess recycling too, as you're saying, it's something that you know, we have to keep learning how to do, because yeah, it's a massive issue in our city at the moment. But thank you for your time this morning, Phil. We'll speak to you next week.
Okay, Rachel, look forward to it. You have a great day.
Cheers. You too. Bye.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.